be part of this place. Like you said, it's been about a year since we've been back. You know, Melissa and I were here several years ago. This is my church. This has always been like my foundation. It's always held such a special place in my heart. We had our first two kids here, and then we spent about 10 years away, and in those 10 years, we had two more kids. So we came back last year with all four of them, but it was fate all along, because if you line my children up from youngest to oldest, and you start with Troop and Cruz and Ava and then Cohen, they spell out TCAC. That's fate, right? That shows we're supposed to be here. Troop, Cruz, Ava, and Cohen, TCAC. That seals it right there, right? We never planned that, but when I finally realized it, I thought, you know, that place really, maybe subconsciously, has always just been in my heart. So we're thankful to be part of just the best church in Newton County. I got to tell you, this is the best place. I don't know if you guys love it like I do, but I'll drive by and I'll just look over and see this massive space and I'll just smile, because I just love this place so much. And Pastor Daryl talked about some things we're doing next week. Next week is like our big CY back to school bash. If you're a student, if you're middle school or going into sixth grade all the way up through high school, you're going to want to be in this place next week. Immediately after church, we are having this big bash for about 4 hours. I don't know if you guys have ever seen on Facebook or just online on YouTube those really big, fun foam slides. Have you guys seen that, where you dive in and you just disappear into foam and you come up at the other end and you look like you've been in a washing machine? We're going to have a foam slide next week, and so excited about that. So if you're a student, you want to be here for that. If you are a student, that's a great opportunity to bring a friend. It's a great opportunity. So if you're a student and you're listening to me, this is Pastor Brian saying this to you, your job for next Sunday is to bring a friend with you to service so we can expose them to that. And even in slides and foam and fun, we can show them Jesus too, right? Amen. Again, I'm thankful to be here with you guys today. Didn't Andretta do an incredible job last week? You know, I wasn't here, but immediately afterwards, I went and I listened to everything online, and I was just blown away. And I was like, man, I should have been there, because it was just so good. I'm so thankful for this place that we're surrounded by Pastor Daryl and people like Andretta. It's a wonderful thing, and we are blessed with great leaders. And I just want to give honor to Pastor Daryl today for taking a chance on me. It's been, you know, a year, and we've been working and doing good and good things, and just good things are happening around the church. So I'll try not to be too long today. Can we pray real quick? We pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, we love you today. So thankful for you. God, we just pray right now, Lord, that just like that last song we sang, God, that you will just fill this space right now, Lord. All we want is for you to be lifted high, Lord. So take my efforts, take my prep, God, and just use it right now, Lord. Completely cover me so that people here only see and hear you today, God. We love you, and we're so thankful. So thankful for you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so the first thing I want to do is tell you guys about this crazy story that I've read this week. It's almost unbelievable, but it's a story that just broke a couple years ago. So these people are real. They're still alive. It didn't happen years ago, and it's just been told from, you know, it's been passed down. This is like a legit story that's in, you know, European news, and it's just crazy. You guys will probably want to go check it out after I tell you about it. But a couple years back, there is these two brothers, and their names are Zolt and Giza Pelody. Zolt and Giza Pelody. Of course, sounds like a European name, so they're from Budapest, Hungary. And these brothers are penniless. They're homeless men, completely broke. The only thing they have is probably the clothes that they have on their backs. They peddle anything that they can find to make a little bit of money, but they're broke and they're homeless. And you guys know where they live? It's the craziest thing. They lived in a cave. They were like modern day cavemen living in a cave in Budapest. I can imagine their look, because I know we've all seen homeless people before, but I can imagine they looked really wiry, probably needed a shave, probably were very dirty, could have been even a little bit smelly. It's probably people that if you were on one end of the street and they were on the other and you were both walking toward each other, you might get a little bit uncomfortable, right? I could imagine what they looked like. You see, these brothers had lost touch with their family. They lived with their mother, who seemed like, it's stated that she just was an abusive type of lady. She was mean. She had long disconnected from her family and then had the boys and then finally abandoned them completely. So they're just disconnected and cut off from all of their family. They don't know who their family is. The article that I read never mentions their father, so I'm assuming he was out of the picture as well. So it's just two guys, down on their luck, no food, nothing to their names, living in a cave. Crazy, right? Then one day, something incredible happens. Something miraculous happens to these guys. You see, early in life, they had heard their mother came from money, but never knew the details of it. Like I said, their mother was just abusive and just had left them. But they had heard that she came from an affluent family. But it turns out their mom came from a lot of money. And that their grandmother had recently passed away. So, they, the two brothers, along with their only sister, who lived in America at the time, ended up being the sole heirs of their grandmother's fortune. The sole heirs of their grandmother's fortune. You see, for months after the grandmother had passed away, her estate lawyers knew of the grandsons and had been on a mission trying to find these boys. And it took months, but they finally found the boys in Budapest in a cave. It's crazy. So as the lawyers walk up to these boys, they ask them the question, "Do you know who you are?" I'm going to ask this side, "Do you know who you are?" You see, this grandmother, this long-lost grandmother, had left them a $7 billion fortune. Is that crazy? $7 billion. Now, all y'all after church are going to go looking for your long-lost relatives, aren't you? Where is my long-lost rich granny? Right? It's an incredible story. And it's funny, as I read the story, the first thing the guys are captured as saying is, well, now hopefully this will change our lives. And maybe we'll get some wives. It's funny that that's the first thing they think of. I don't think you got to worry about that. I think you'll have a lot of ladies coming and knocking at your cave. Right? It's funny. This story is so incredible, but as I was reading the story, the one thing that just struck me is, as amazing as the story is, the one thing that just struck me is that even in the cave and in the conditions they were in and used to and being hungry and all these things, they were heirs all along. They just didn't know it, right? They were heirs all along. They already had the wealth and were part of the family. They just didn't know it. You see, the blessing that they had was already there. Their blessing was already there. They just had to get connected to it. Had they earlier in life connected with their grandmother, surely life would have been different for them already. They would have been living it up. They just needed to hear the news and get plugged into what was already theirs. Right? It's too early to start preaching. Too early in my message to start preaching. So I'm going to bring it down just a second. So today is back to school Sunday. And my words are going to be directed at students directly. But if you're a parent or an adult or a grandparent in here, don't tune out, because you can certainly catch something from this today too. But students, definitely hear what's being said today, okay? My question for you today, so last week Andretta asked you guys, what are you doing here, right? Wasn't that the question she posed for us? What are you doing here? Today, my question to you guys is, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Don't let that roll over your head. Don't let that just fly over. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you really are? I can't imagine being a student these days. I grew up in with the dinosaurs back in the 80s and the 90s when, we had T-Rexes roaming the world still. There was no such thing as a cell phone or any kind of device, Wi-Fi. I would probably, if you mentioned that to me, I would think you were speaking some other language. But living back then was hard enough as it was, constantly trying to figure out who you were, in those formative years in middle and high school years. It was hard enough back then. I can't imagine how things are for you guys today as students. We have iPads, we have iPhones, we have things like Snapchat and TikTok. Does anybody know anything about TikTok? That's kind of probably more of a younger type thing, but I hate TikTok. Do you guys hate TikTok as much as I do? Ava loves TikTok. It's these short, if you don't know what that is, it's these short little clips where you can record yourself and dub the music or the voices over. So anytime I look in the back seat, Ava's constantly had her phone up doing all kind of just crazy stuff. And you can fast forward and you can make it slow-mo, and it's just crazy. But all the kids are doing it now. It's crazy. But we got all these things that are in our face and in our ears that are constantly showing and telling us who we need to be, right? Even on TikTok, you've got like the trend, so everybody will do the same clip, and then the next week everybody will do this clip, and who's setting up, these trends and saying, okay, you do, this is the cool one to do this week. Who is sitting in the background doing all that? It's crazy. We're inundated with folks telling us who we're to be, what we're to wear, how we're supposed to think, what it takes to be cool, what's socially acceptable. It's been funny because our oldest, Cohen, is actually going into high school now, and this is our first foray into a school that's like this. We're used to uniforms. Early in life, he went to a Christian school, so we were told, you wear this and you wear that. Well, now he's free dress, and it's just been crazy trying to figure out what to do. So it's crazy, because who sets styles and standards? And it's crazy. There's a constant war going on with our identity. Who you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to look like. Even on social media, there are these new deemed professions called influencers. I think, after I wrote this, I think maybe Pastor spoke about influencers a while ago, but influencers are these people, celebrities, and people with lots and lots of followers that are constantly hawking things at you and showing you, you know, this is what you should be doing, and here's the new color, and this is the gadget you need to have. All the while, they're getting paid to tell you who you should be and what you should look like. It's a pretty cool job. Actually, one of Melissa's best friends is an influencer. She's built her brand over the years and has probably hundreds of or thousands of followers now, and she just did some work with Dolly Parton. And part of that work was to get families to come to Dollywood. So try to cause you to want to do something. Not that you've got that original thought, but that you see someone and think, they're doing it, I should do it. Well, back in the day, we didn't have social media, but we had sponsorships. And one of the funniest ones to me, y'all, growing up as a high schooler, there was no bigger star than this girl named Britney Spears. Some of you guys around here might not know who she is at this point. She's that old granny still trying to stay relevant. But Britney Spears was it back in the 90s. And she inked this incredible sponsorship deal with Pepsi. And Pepsi had her all over commercials, all over billboards. Pepsi, Pepsi, Pepsi. Britney, Britney, Britney. So if you're a fan of Britney, you drink Pepsi, right? That's kind of the thought. But then there was kind of a scandal because she was kind of back home and whatever, wherever she came from, and she didn't think cameras were on her, and she was photographed drinking a Coke. So it was like an uproar, and I think like sponsorships almost got pulled and all these things. So she's telling you to do one thing, but she likes the real thing, right? We're from Atlanta. It's Coke or nothing around here. Except Pastor, he likes his Dr. Peppers. But if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in the noise around us that tells us what we're supposed to be, or we'll get so confused by the devil about who he says we are that we'll lose sight of who our Creator says we are. We'll get so messed up. Can I tell you that Satan is just out to confuse and steal your identity? He wants to keep you from knowing who you were or who you are and who you were created to be. He works non-stop at trying to wreck and mess with our brains and our thoughts. He's influencing our TV, our movies, our music, pop culture. The majority of it is influenced. He loves to keep us tormented and lost, and he's doing absolutely everything possible to keep you from knowing about your rich, rich, rich Father. There's several stories in the Bible of people struggling with their identity. Almost every major character in the Bible has like an identity crisis. But let's look in Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to talk about Jacob for just a second. Genesis 32, verse 27. Then the angel of the Lord asked Jacob, "What is your name?" I can't imagine it would be like, "What's your name?" It's, "What is your name?" As they wrestle through the night. You see, Jacob was a part of a rich inheritance himself. And that inheritance started with a covenant between Abraham and God. And Jacob had done some pretty shady things in his life and had some things happen to him as well. But he did some pretty shady things to get what he wanted. He stole the blessing from his brother. And he was finally in a place where he thought he was going to face the music of his actions. You know, he'd ran away. He'd gotten married. He'd worked for a while. He had a couple wives. But he had heard that Esau was coming. And then this night before, he wrestled with an angel for his blessing. See, God wrestled Jacob into a revelation of who he was and his true identity. And in it, he changed Jacob's name to Israel. See, God had a plan for Israel. And then fast forward, Jacob, now called Israel, actually is reunited with his brother, and his brother doesn't kill him. I'm going to move on and look at Moses. I like to talk about Moses. If I look back over my notes, I talk about him a good bit. But in Exodus, we learn that Moses was born into a Jewish family who was enslaved there in Egypt. And it was in a time when all the Jewish males were being killed. So his mother hid him for about 3 months. And around that time, she put him in a basket. You guys know the story. Put him in a basket, sent him down the river, and princess found him, right? Pharaoh's daughter found him. So he lived his early life torn between two lives. He knew he was Jewish descendant. He knew that was his lineage. He knew that he looked like those people. But he wasn't treated the same way they were. So he wasn't quite over here. And he was raised up in Pharaoh's house. So he was part of a royal family, but he didn't quite fit in there. I'm sure there's plenty of people that said, "You don't belong here." So he's caught between these two worlds, and he doesn't quite fit in either one. Do you know what it feels like to not fit in? You ever felt like you didn't fit in? Don't know quite who you are? Well, I feel like that with Moses, kind of, you see it played out as God starts talking to him and trying to prepare him. You can just tell that Moses isn't sure of himself and doesn't feel adequate. And I think that's all because not necessarily God had a crazy thing for him to do, but just because of how he was raised, he never belonged. He didn't know who he was. So it all starts off with Moses seeing the burning bush, and he walks over to it. Could you guys imagine a burning bush? I think we all would just walk over and be like, "Wow, what's this?" So he goes over to the burning bush, and God starts calling his name from the bush. And I'll pick up in Exodus 3, verse 5 and 6. "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." And then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So first God tells him that their first conversations, God's telling him that he hears the cries of his people and he's going to do something about it and he's going to use him in it. And then we start seeing Moses kind of self-destruct a little bit, right? So picking up in verse 11, Moses says, "But who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? I can't do this. You got the wrong guy. Not me, right? You're talking to that other guy that walked by the bush a little while ago." Verse 13, Moses says, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What's his name? What shall I tell him?'" See, he's coming up with all these questions. But what about this? Parents, does it sound like when you tell one of your kids to do something and they just come up with excuse after excuse after excuse of why they're not doing it? This is what Moses sounds like a little bit. So then we jump over to chapter 4 and starting in verse 1, it says, "Moses answers, 'What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you?'" He just keeps coming back with questions and trying to deflect. So even after seeing God in the burning bush and turning the staff to a snake and, you know, slipping his hand into his cloak and it being diseased and then healed again, he saw God moving. He still doesn't know who he is. Not who God is. He doesn't know who Moses is. He's been called to do this and he's fighting it. But the Lord just came back every time and answered each excuse. Verse Verse 10, Moses says, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. I'm not capable. I'm not capable of doing this. I stutter. I can't do this. I can't go up there and speak." Then the Lord came back and he answers and he says, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sights or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." And then finally, Moses comes down with he's kind of beat down, and he's finally self-destructing, and he just comes out with it, and he says in verse 13, "But Moses said, 'Pardon your servant, Lord. Please just send someone else. Don't send me, can you use somebody else?'" You see, Moses was having an identity crisis. He didn't know who he was. All through the Bible, major characters all questioned. Moses and David and Job and everybody questioned, "Who am I? Who am I?" You see, there is a natural tendency for us. It's our nature to question who we are. Are we good enough? What are we doing here? What does it all mean? In a world that is throwing so much at us, we better know who we are. We got to know who we are. You see, one of the devil's oldest trick, I hate the devil. As much as I hate him, he only has a few tricks. And if we learn his tricks, we're good. But one of his oldest tricks that he uses against us is our identity. He tries to cover up our identity. You know why? Because he's the very first person, very first thing to ever have an identity crisis. He didn't know who he was. He wanted to be something else. So the devil's not very good and doesn't have a whole lot of tools in his bag to battle us. But one of the things that he does to us most common is he tries to confuse our identity. He wants us confused about who we are. And even in today's society, it's just amplified. Am I him? Am I her? I read an article last week where people are wanting to be referred to as Zims and Zers. And we have gray babies and all these things. He's just coming to confuse us and try to steal. He wants us cut off and disconnected from our heritage. He doesn't want us knowing about our rich Heavenly Father. He wants all of that disconnected. He wants us mentally fragile. He wants us having wars of the mind and having battles in our mind and being stressed out and anxious. That's his playground. He knows when he keeps us that way, we're not being who we're supposed to be and connected to what we're supposed to be connected to. So, my question to you guys today, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Who are you? I can tell you the devil knows who you are. He knows who your true identity is and who you're supposed to be. I can assure you he knows. And that's why he'll spend your entire life trying to keep you from your identity in Christ. That's why he's fighting so hard for you. So in just a moment, I want to tell you guys, especially you students, who you are. I'll take a little bit of time and tell you who you are. But before I do that, as I was preparing the message, it brought me back to, we are Disney people at our house. We love some Disney movies. We've got just about all of them. But piecing this message together, I just kept having these scenes from The Lion King pop in my head and in the song, "Zimbabwe." I like to do that. You guys know The translation for that really is pink pajamas, penguins on the bottom. Do you guys know that? You don't believe me? Pink pajamas, penguins on the bottom. Pink pajamas, penguins on the bottom. You didn't know that? That's not really what it says, but it's pretty funny. But I had these scenes from The Lion King popping up in my head as I was doing this, especially at the end when Simba is all grown now and he's, you know, with the little guys, and somehow Rafiki, that crazy baboon-looking animal, comes and he knows Simba's alive. And so he goes and he finds him. And he starts messing with Simba, and Simba says, "Will you stop following me? Who are you?" And Rafiki replies back, "The question is, who are you?" Have you guys seen the new live-action version yet? So the question is, who are you? Simba says, because he's got all this shame and guilt on him, he says, "Well, I thought I knew. Now I'm just not so sure anymore." And they tussle back and forth and talk a little bit. And finally, Simba's just had enough of Rafiki. And he says, just leave me alone. And he says, Rafiki says, "I'm not the one confused. You don't even know who you are." And Simba says, "Oh, I suppose you know who I am." And Rafiki says, "Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy." Right? And then he like runs off and Simba starts chasing him. "You knew my father?" "No, I know your father." So there's this great scene after that where, you know, Simba goes to the lagoon and he looks in his, he sees his reflection. And he's like, "That's just me." And then the clouds roar and here comes his dad in the clouds and they have a conversation and it's, you know, it just gets you. And Mufasa says, "Simba, you've forgotten who you are. Look inside yourself. You must take your place in the circle of life." I don't sound like James Earl Jones at all. And as the clouds roll away, he keeps repeating, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are." It's the greatest scene of that movie. So what I want to tell you guys in this auditorium today is, church, remember who you are. You are Jehovah's boy. You are Jehovah's girl. Amen? I want to take a little bit of time. This is going to be a little bit different. I hope you guys are okay with this. But if you're a student, would you stand up? If you're a middle school student, if you're a high school student, if you're a college student, would you guys just stand up for me? If you're in here and you didn't go to kids' church, no big deal. You guys stand up. All right, if you're standing, I want you to walk to the front. Don't be scared. There's going to be a bunch of y'all up here. Just come stand up in the front across. Come on, Chris. Y'all come stand up. I want to spend a little bit of time telling these guys who they are. Is that good? Now, if you're in the audience and you know who you are, if you're secure in who the Lord has made you to be, I kind of want you guys just kind of praying over these folks as we talk a little bit, okay? Just kind of in the background, just, you know who you are. Let's just pray that these guys figure out who they are. A lot of them already do. A lot of you guys already know who you are. You are loved. You are loved. Most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." You folks are loved. I don't know if you've ever felt love in your life before, but let me tell you today, there's a man who gave his life for you, and he died on a cross so that you might be saved. He loves you. You are loved. And I don't know if you've ever felt it in your life, maybe a little bit, maybe not a lot, but I pray today as we pray in a little bit that you feel the love of God on your life. You are loved. You are a child of God. You're not just a child. You're a child of God. The creator of the world. Not just a king, not just a president, but the creator of everything calls you his child. John 1, 12 and 13 says, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Romans 8, verse 31 says, "What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" You are loved. You are a child of God. Listen to this one. You have a purpose. Don't you walk around aimlessly thinking you're not here for a reason. You all have a purpose. Every last one of you. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, "For I know the thoughts I have for you, declares the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope." You have a purpose. And you will fulfill it when you lean into Jesus and you follow and you seek him. You will find your purpose. You have purpose. You are not here by mistake. You're not, it doesn't matter what your home life looks like. It doesn't matter how you got here. If you live with aunts, uncles, step-parents, none of that matters. You have a purpose on your life. And one of the things that the devil will always try to do is try to steal and lie to you and say, you are worthless. No, I am telling you, you have a purpose. Church, what do you say? You are chosen, not forsaken. You are chosen. You didn't just show up and then God say, "Oh, well, I'll give Chris this then. He's a nice-looking baby. I'll make him a football player." No, 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 no. Before you were born, he was singing over you. His thoughts were there for you. He knew you before you were even born. You came equipped with a purpose already. You are chosen, not forsaken. Joshua 1:5 says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I will be with Moses, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave or forsake you." Ephesians 1:4 says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, we should be holy and without blame before him in love." You are chosen. You are not forsaken. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He rejoices over you with singing." Not only does he love you, he sings over you. Mighty, he sings over you, girl. He sings over you. Another one, the devil tries to and put condemnation on you. You are not condemned. You are not condemned. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian and you have accepted him and you follow his ways, you are not condemned. You are an heir of Christ. Just like those guys I told you about in the story were an heir of their super rich grandmother, you are an heir of Christ. Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, they're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we indeed we suffer with him, that they may be glorified together." You are heirs of Christ. That means what he has is available to you. Everything that he has is available to you. All of his resources, sound minds, peace, love, joy, that's yours. You are bold and you are confident. Don't go into school not confident in who you are. You'll get swallowed up if you don't know who you are. Know who you are today. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. I'm not saying be arrogant, but you can walk into school this next week with some confidence knowing, I know who I am. I know who my heavenly Father is. You can walk in with confidence and with a boldness that scares the devil. You are a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a citizen of heaven. You are sound-minded. I'm going to spend a minute here, okay? You are sound-minded. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. The devil comes to try to steal and get in your mind and cause you all this turmoil in your mind. But let me tell you, if you don't know another memory verse in the Bible, you remember this, that he has given me a sound mind. I don't have a spirit of fear, but a sound mind is a biblical thing. So you don't have to worry about things coming at you. You don't have to be filled with anxiety. You don't have to have worry. You don't have to have panic. He has given you a sound mind, and I'm tired of the devil coming at you guys and stealing your peace. I'm tired of it. So right now, over all these students, I say you have a right to a sound mind. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is our Prince of Peace, and you guys have access to that through his lineage. You don't have to be filled with anxiety this school year. If you struggle with anxiety, you don't have to. It has to flee in the name of Jesus. He is our peace. And finally, you are fearless. That's your name, fearless. Chris, you're fearless. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Perfect love is Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ there is no fear. You don't have to worry about your future. You don't have to worry about your classes. What am I going to do in college? How am I going to pay for things? All those things will be resolved, but you don't have to be filled with fear. Just like a sound mind, you don't have to be fearful. Jesus is perfect love, and he drives out all fear. That's who you are today. You are of a royal lineage. You can tap into that inheritance right now. You are spiritual billionaires. And you don't have to live a spiritual life in a spiritual cave. You don't have to. That's not who Papa is. That's not who our God is. I'm here today to serve you and say, do you know who you are? I'm here to tell you today about your rich Father and the inheritance that you have available to you. He has a plan for your life, and that life is good. His thoughts are good towards you, and all you got to do is plug into him. If you've not made him your Savior, I implore you, before you leave today, ask him into your heart and to just completely take over your whole life. You've never experienced anything like it, I'm telling you. Never, ever in your life. All you got to do is plug into him, and boom. There you go. He formed you and was thinking about you before you were even born. He knows you intimately, every hair on your head, every cell in your body. Don't you want to know someone that knows you that well? Don't you think his thoughts are good towards you? Not only that, you were created for His purpose and created to be used. Your demeanor, your talents, your skills, if you play an instrument, that's not by chance. He gave you those skills. He gave you that calling. If you're a sports star, He wants you to shine bright on the sports field. All you got to do is just lean into it. Connect to it. We were created to be used by Him. That's who you are today. Don't miss it. That's who you are. Everybody say, that's who I am. That's who I am. All over the building, would you please stand? If you're a teacher or someone in the school system, I'd love to invite you guys up now. We can pray over you guys as well. All the students are already here. If you're an adult in college, this is back to school Sunday. That includes you too. Let me tell you, my mom was a college student in her 40s. She and I had classes together in college. Professor talking, I'm sitting by my mama. It was great. We loved it. So if you're anything, if you are, I know we have people that work in offices, and if you anything to do with a school, bus drivers, anything like that, we want you guys up front. Now I'd like to invite, so if your students are already up here and you're a parent, I want to invite you up to just be behind your students and just pray over them. It's a tough life they live, guys. The things they're exposed to. But as scary as all that sounds, they got a support system in the church. I've already told you who they are. I've told you who their father is. But they've got a support system here in this church of people who love these students and are praying for you. Students, just kind of look around. Look, you got people all around you. You got people in your corner. People that care about you and say, you can do this. We love you. We care for you. But I want to tell you before we pray, you're the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. You have a sound mind. He's our Prince of Peace. Anything you possibly need is found in Jesus. If you're struggling at school, if things aren't going the way you thought, if you've got heartbreak, if being made fun of, if classes just seem too hard, you can lean in to Jesus. Lean into church. Get involved in this youth group. There's support here. Not just me, but we have folks on staff, Taylor, the Clarks, Chris. We have folks that love you and want to support you and walk through your school years with you. It makes the difference. There's a couple kids in the youth group that you can pair up with. They're a little farther in the path than you that can kind of, hey, you know, when you were in sixth grade, did you struggle with this? Yeah, I went through that. This is how I overcame it. This is a support system. So I want to just implore you guys, get plugged in youth group. Next week's a great opportunity to do that. Do you know? Hopefully you know now. Hopefully you know now.